Morning.
Has there ever been a defensive back that you've tried to stay away from?
You know, with the teams that I've played on, I've always had some really good receivers that we felt like we had to try to get them the ball. That was kind of the best way for us to win. So, and this team's no different. I think Seattle's secondary, they are excellent cover corner guys, and you have to know who is guarding your receiver on each play and maybe what route that receiver's running. There's certain routes that maybe aren't quite as good against certain corners, but they have three excellent cover corners, all three of them, Maxwell, Sherman, and Thurman, and then their safeties are, like I said, are excellent players as well. Right, yeah. I'm not sure, if I have the – if I'm supposed to share those three keys, if I even know what they are. So, there's no question it's a challenge.
Hey, what are some of the – worry about Seattle's, defensive guys almost getting way too much, the refs letting them get away with one of the two?
You know, like I said, I haven't – it's hard to predict on that. I've only played – against Seattle twice in the preseason, almost played a half both games. So, I haven't played against them in the regular season. So that's kind of a question that I really don't know how to answer. They are, like I said, they're excellent cover corners, and it's a challenge for our receivers to get open versus those guys.
Peyton, what are some of the things you can learn from your past Super Bowl experience that may be able to help you and maybe some of your teammates from Sunday?
I'm not sure if there's one thing that jumps out. I think I mentioned yesterday Coach Fox gave the players and coaches with Super Bowl experience the platform to address the team on any piece of information they thought would be helpful to share with other players. And, that was Wes Welker, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, Jacob Tammy spoke, Jack Del Rio, Coach Fox. We don't have a ton of players with experience, but everybody had something to say, mostly about kind of how to handle the week and how to get your preparation done and, enjoying the moment. Different types of advice. John Elway addressed the team. He's got the most Super Bowl experience. And so, I might have shared a few things. The past two Super Bowls that I played in, our preparation has been really good, and that's been the main goal last week. And we're off to a good start this week, but really today is important that we continue that preparation.
How does playing for Coach Fox compare to other coaches? Coach Fox mentioned how faith has played a major part in his recovery and this journey you guys get here. How has faith played a part in your recovery and your journey since you getting here?
Well, there's no question when you have an injury like I had, where really there was no doctor that could tell you, hey, you're going to be back at this time, and there was a lot of uncertainty. So there's no question you had to have great faith and trust that in kind of letting the good Lord kind of lead the path. Coach Fox is right. I certainly believe in the power of prayer. Our entire team was praying for him and his recovery. That was a nobody can really relate to what he was experiencing. When he went lightheaded on that golf course and what he was feeling. So I know there's a lot of people all across, America, football fans praying for Coach Fox. I know that our team is praying for him, and we're glad that he's back, glad that he's back as our leader. So I believe it does play an important role.
Hey, Peyton,
how you doing, Ken?
Good.
See you.
What do you remember about Seattle's recruitment of you when you were a free agent, and why
Well, it's not that. I mean, you can only pick one team to go play for. It reminded me of college somewhat that you really like to go play for a lot of teams. Maybe go play for this team for a year, maybe give this team four or five games and bounce around. So it's not the way it works. You got to pick a team. That seems like a long time ago, that free agency recruiting, if you will. I remember it wasn't very private, quite a public spectacle, which I could have done without that. But I've known Pete Carroll. Pete was the head coach for the Patriots. My first first two seasons with the Colts. They were in our division. I knew him then. I knew Pete when he was at Southern Cal. He actually did a pretty cool thing for me one time. I was in Los Angeles during the summer in June, and I was had some kind of commitment there, and I needed to throw. I needed to work out, and so I called over to Southern Cal's football offices, got a hold of Coach Carroll, and asked if his receivers and quarterbacks were throwing that day, could I come over and join the throwing session, because I was, you know, getting ready for training camp. And so he said, he gave me the time, and so, you know, I got over there at 3 o'clock, and I really just wanted to kind of just join right in and, you know, throw whatever routes, you know, that Southern Cal was throwing. And Coach Carroll had 8 receivers, 4 tight ends, 4 running backs, all stretched, lathered up, ready to go when I got there. And I said, all right, what routes do y'all want to run? He said, no, Coach Carroll said, we're going to throw whatever routes you want to run. This is going to be your workout. And that's about as good a treatment as you could get, you know, for a kind of a visitor to a different team. And really had a neat day throwing. I didn't get to see him that day. I'm not sure he was even in town, but he set that up for me. So, of course, my allegiance is always to the University of Tennessee, but on that day, Southern Cal helped me out. So, you know, Coach Carroll is an outstanding coach. I know he's a great recruiter, and you know, I had to pick one team to go play for, and the Denver Broncos was the team that I picked. What's that? Is this boat moving? Is this thing moving? God dang.
But at the time, how frightening was it that your career was in the hands of X-rays?
Yeah, I mean, all surgeries, in my opinion, are serious. You know, because a lot of people say it's not a major surgery unless it's your own. I think when you're dealing with a neck surgery, I think it's pretty serious stuff. My brother Cooper dealt with neck surgeries and injuries as a high school and college player, and had to give up football. So that made a big impact on my life. And so I remember at the time when Cooper got injured, they sort of did a little test on me and Eli. You know, I would have been a junior in high school. Eli probably would have been a sixth grader or something. And they said that our necks weren't picture perfect. You know, didn't look ideal, but we were still, it was stable enough to keep playing football. Cooper had to give up playing football. So, you know, in some ways, when I had my neck problems, I kind of thought maybe I've been on kind of borrowed time this entire time. And I was kind of fortunate to have 20 years of health to play football. So if that was going to be the end of it because of a neck injury, I really, believe it or not, had a piece about it, that I've had this unbelievable string of health, and I've played 20 years of football, high school, college, and pro ball. I was fortunate for that. But once I, you know, had the surgery and went to the doctors for the checkups, I remember I had that physical around this time when the Giants and the Patriots played in the Super Bowl, and the doctor said, your neck is secure. He said, I'd let you play Super Bowl Sunday. If you were my own son, I'd let you play. And as soon as the doctor told me that, that was the end of it for me on the neck discussion. Now it was simply a matter of performance. Could I get my strength back to play quarterback at the level that I thought a team deserved to have played for? What's that? No, I don't think they complain. I think certainly my family has enjoyed being a part of these Super Bowls, the ones that I've been able to play in, the ones that Eli have been able to play in. You know, when you play in a Super Bowl, you're playing for more than just your team and your teammates. I think you're playing for your families. I think you're playing for your hometowns. I know that's how I've always approached it. I know that's how Eli has approached it. And so I know our family is excited. Yeah, I think it's a pretty unique, ironic situation that Eli played in the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and Broncos have a chance to play in the one in New York. So had a chance to see Eli last night. Got to visit with him and his family. Really enjoyed that time. He and I don't get to spend a lot of time together in person. He came to the game last week or 2 weeks ago against the Patriots. That's, you know, one of probably four or five NFL games of mine that he's been to in person. And so it's always special to have a chance to be with him. And I met his daughter, his second daughter, for the first time, Lucy, my niece, who was born right before training camp. I had never met, so I really enjoyed that time as an uncle last night. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for the rocking cruise ship. There's always a little wrinkle, I guess, that's added. Keeps you on your toes. Hey, I understand the interest in this football game. It's an honor and privilege to be playing in this football game. Believe me, you know, 16 years. I know how hard it is to get to this game, and I understand why there is such interest, and there are certain requirements, and it's part of it. You know, the main focus all along is to stay on top of your preparation for our opponent, which I feel we've done up to this point. And I really think it needs to kind of even take a step into higher gear, you know, starting today with our kind of normal routine of practices on the field. Yeah, I'm not a robot. Maybe at one time that I was as a younger player, I might have been. I've changed my kind of preparation routine in these later years. You know, there's a lot of things that have changed for me since that injury and joining the new team. And, you know, I think having kids has a lot to do with that. But there was a time when I would, you know, come home from, you know, practice, and I would stay up till, you know, 1:30 in the morning because I had to watch all four of their preseason games that night. And I thought if I didn't watch all four of those games, then the world might come to an end the next day. I felt like I had to do it. And so I didn't need to sleep as much. You know, I was a younger player. So now, you know, my preparation has changed. You know, I come home after practice. I love spending time with the kids, putting them to bed. I don't stay up as late. I need to get my rest more. So, yeah, I was a robot early on. I think now maybe I'm a little more human.
Yeah. I mean, because I read a story about you when you were a senior in college and said, well, Peyton Manning's learned to stop and smell the roses, but maybe you're better at that now than you were at 22.
I probably am. I think you get better at everything, hopefully, with age. I mean, you know, even in college, it was always misinformation. I mean, they used to say that I, you know, stayed up after the college game on Saturday night to watch the film of the game. The truth was that the replay of the game on TV came on about 2 a.m. after I was just coming in with my teammates after a post-game celebration. So I felt like I was kind of a normal college football player, college student athlete that after a game went out and enjoyed it, and it was lucky enough that the broadcast was on. You got to stay up and watch it. I wasn't studying the game film on Saturday night. Yeah, certainly, Mark, at 37 years old and in my 16th season, especially during a week like this, I think it's healthy to take some time to reflect and smell the roses. And, you know, this legacy question that keeps popping up, I guess I had a little more time to think about it. You know, if I had my choice, what my legacy would be that I played my butt off for every team that I ever played on, that I was a really good teammate, and then I did everything I could to win. If that whatever happens along in that time is fine with me, but those are things that I care about. Well, I feel when you're going through some adversity, I think you find out who's really in your corner, and I think it's important to lean on those people. And, you know, sometimes you want to try to do things yourself. You know, I got to do it all myself. And I just can't tell you how indebted I am to the people that have helped me in kind of overcoming my physical challenges and my transition. I just am grateful for their support. I've told them that, and they still support me. And so I think don't be afraid to reach out for people to help you and show them how much you appreciate their help, because you can't do it alone. You got to have people around you to help you. Well, I was a Sopranos guy. I love the Sopranos, and so I was, you know, just devastated when that screen went blank. I liked the ending personally. I liked it, but it was still a tough moment because I knew it was over. And there was, you know, Sunday night's kind of my night to watch a show. I usually record it. You know, don't really necessarily have a consistent regular show during the week, and so when Boardwalk came out, that was big. That was big for me, and you know, I still don't think the season's long enough. I wish it was a little longer. It only gets you through about week 10 or 12, you know. So I've been struggling these last few weeks in postseason, but yeah, Nucky and the gang, you know, and it's obviously, I'm sure there's some fiction added to it, but it's got some truth to it, and you see some of the young characters, you know, Lansky and Capone. I mean, these guys are obviously not good guys, but it's a pretty good show. Yeah, I think it really starts, Sal, in our first, you know, offensive meeting that we'll have here after this media day, when, you know, Adam Gase will set the tone. He does a good job setting it in the meeting room, you know, standing up there and talking about what we're going to do today. We'll watch Monday's practice. And then on the practice field, I certainly would be disappointed if I had to set the tone, because I feel like our guys have practiced well all year. It's been a big reason why we've been able to play well on Sundays. Guys have been into practice. They were into it last week. I think last week is a challenge to have good practices, because you got stuff going on. People are trying to do tickets and all those kind of things. And our practices were up tempo, focused last week, which I was real pleased with as a quarterback, and I certainly expect that same intensity and up tempo practices to take place starting today. You know, I think that'll be important. Yeah, John pretty much laid it on us. He was not happy with that game. It was a butt kicking, you know, and whether it's preseason or regular season, he was just sharing his thoughts that won't be accepted under his role as kind of the leader of this organization, along with, you know, Pat Bowlen. So, I was taking notes. A lot of players were taking notes. He talked about what he thought our potential could be, and didn't want to see that, you know, wasted. So I think guys got the message. I think he was, if I was reading it the right way, he might have been giving the message to some coaches as well as just the players. And everybody in that room, I think, got the message. And I thought it was important that he did. It was really the first time John has addressed the team. He actually did not address the team the entire time last year. And so it was really the first time he had addressed the team. And when he had something to say, it was certainly important. Yeah, I do recall that hit. Yeah, yeah. Somewhere in here, I still feel it. Yeah, it never hurts quite as bad, Sal, when you're able to complete the pass. It was about a 30-yard gain to Julius Thomas, so you're able to recover a little sooner. But I can't remember. It might have been Wagner or somebody, but they have good linebackers that are good tacklers and that are good blitzers as well. So there's no question that, you know, pass protection will be key in this game, whether it's blocking four, blocking five, whoever they're bringing. Our guys up front got a big challenge. Yeah, I guess it's funny. you know, maybe certain players might not want to play, you know, for someone has that role, you know, might feel competitive or, you know, it'd be uncomfortable playing for that. But for me, I've known John Elway, you know, for some time. I met him. He played, I can't remember. Well, one of the Super Bowls was in New Orleans. I think I met him. I was a kid, or met him at a Saints game. I met him as a young man, and of course he knew my dad, and so you know, he was always one of my favorite quarterbacks, along with Marino and the other guys of that generation. So John came down to our football camp. His son Jack was a camper. John came and worked it, you know. So you know, I've seen John different times throughout the years, and I just really saw him as a potential great resource for me at 37 years old. How he played the game at my age, played it well at my age. I thought he could give me some good pieces of advice on kind of what he did, how he approached the game at that age when you are one of the older guys in the locker room, or maybe the oldest, I guess. Champ, I just got champ by a little bit. But, you know, and just I knew he would be as competitive as a leader of the organization as he was as a quarterback. I knew he was committed to winning right away. He wasn't building for 5 or 6 years from now, which I certainly don't have that time. And so in a lot of ways, kind of the goals and that I had in mind were the same ones that he had in mind. And so from that standpoint, it's been a good fit. He's got an open door policy. I pop in there, you know, probably once a week to talk to him. Talk a little life, talk a little football. He doesn't come to quarterback meetings. He's not on the phone with me on the sidelines. You know, he's hired people to coach me at the quarterback position. But I think you'd be crazy as a quarterback not to try to pick his brain for knowledge and tips. And so I've certainly tried to do that. Well, certainly by challenging them every day in practice. We do a number of starters versus starters periods, and you want to try to make them better. I know they make me better going against Champ and DRC and throwing against those guys in one-on-one every day. That makes me a better quarterback, makes our receivers better. So I think that's one way you can contribute. If there's anything that might pop up, that you might talk to a Mike Adams about, hey, well, these are some things that are hard for a quarterback to see, in my opinion. It might be something you might want to add in. But, hey, they have their coaches that are preparing them to play. So, but, yeah, certainly if they have any questions, you know, Champ will pick my brain. I'll pick his brain. I'll ask him about a certain route. You know, hey, how hard is this to cover if it's man-to-man? And so when you can ask a, you know, 15-year veteran corner a question like that, that's pretty helpful.
How does playing for Coach Fox, given your experience, you know, Super Bowl setting, and the fact that this is her first bye week as John Fox told us earlier, is it possible to
I think you can as you watch some of the same Seattle game film for the, you know, fourth and fifth time, it is easy to be able to go, well, I know we have this play and it's good. What if we just put this guy on a different route, you know? And just, you know, it was a great play last week, but now you get this week and you feel like you have to change something. You have to fight against it. I think conversations are healthy, Stacy, to have conversations for me and Adam or me and Greg Knapp to have a conversation. Well, you know, what about adding a little wrinkle on this play? And if it pops, let's put it in. And they go, well, if it's not broke, let's don't break it. Let's stay with it. So it's a real challenge, and one I think you do have to fight. Sometimes there is a good idea that pops up this week on a Wednesday and Thursday, and you want to put it in, and it might convert a third down for you or be a touchdown pass for you. But, you know, I think it's important to also go with some of the core things that got you here, and you want to be able to be sure you're staying on top of those plays.
Just lastly, just given the impressive nature of your offense and the defense improvement, do you think the next factor for the Denver Broncos? What would you consider your X factor?
Well, I think our defense would be. I think our defense is, you know, certainly everybody, Seattle's getting a ton of attention this week as they deserve it. They're the number one ranked defense in just about every category, but I don't think you get to a Super Bowl unless both defenses are playing well. And I sure feel like our defense is peaking at the right time, and they played really well against a tough Patriots team and a hot Chargers team, and certainly as an offense, we appreciate that. They're going to be big this week, and I know they're looking forward to the challenge.
How does playing for Coach Frog?
Well, I have talked to Eli a little bit about it. I obviously was pretty familiar with the old stadium. I'm glad we got to play in the stadium earlier this year. So, yeah, I have talked to Eli a little bit about it, you know, little things. I mean, we'll be dressing in their locker room. We're the home team, and kind of where you warm up and where you come out, any other piece of information that he had. So I've talked to him about that.